What an incredible opportunity to watch these guys come in obedience to Jesus Christ and be baptized. Amen? Isn't that awesome? Obedience. Obedience is a great thing. That's what we're called to do as followers of Jesus Christ. But I'm a what next kind of guy. I'm kind of one of those that doesn't just sit back. I kind of start thinking, okay, so now that this has happened, what happens next? We can't just assume that this is the final step in what it means to be a transformed disciple for Jesus Christ. There's got to be something more. And so this week we conclude that as the family of God, we are called to walk in obedience to Jesus Christ. But it doesn't just stop there. We are now called to teach others what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So we walk with the Lord, and we teach others to walk with the Lord. I want you to listen to this passage in John chapter 21, starting in verse 15. And this is right after, and this is after Jesus had already died on the cross and he rose from the grave. And now we're at a place where Peter, one of his disciples, had just kind of run off and he'd gone back to fishing. And Jesus meets him on the beach and says, hey, I want to have breakfast with you. And he says this in verse 15. He says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to Peter, then feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to me, then tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, then feed my sheep. Take care of my little ones. You see, there's something about this hand in hand. As we love the Lord, it is just a natural overflow for us to love other people and to take care of them and to teach them the ways of Jesus Christ. We're to teach. We're to preach. We're to allow the Word of God to come into our lives, and then we are to model what we teach and preach to other people. Listen to this, Hebrews 13, 7. It says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Now, let me explain something to you. He's saying this right here. Hey, those of you who've had people come into your life and walk with you and talk with you and show you the things of Jesus Christ and how to live this, he says, look at their life. Look how they're blessed. And then he says, imitate their faith. Do what they do. Walk like they walk. Talk like they talk. They've taught you all of this. They're doing it. Now watch them and you do it with them. And so that's what the call is for these people now. To have people in their lives to walk like, to talk like, to live like, and whose responsibility is that? It's the family of God. And by family of God, I don't mean that you just come to church over and over and over and you call this your home. But the family of God, as one who has received the power, the grace of the Holy Spirit in their life, has been transformed by the renewing of their mind, and have surrendered to Jesus Christ so that as they are transformed, they can begin the process of walking others through transformation. Here's the truth. Members of the family of God, we have roles in building the family of God. As members of the body of Christ, we all have roles. We all have responsibilities. Kristen and I just found out just recently that we are having another baby. We're having a little girl. We are really excited about that. I have no idea how to raise a little girl. I've got a stinky little boy that is just rough and tough as possibly could be. And that's all that I know. So now I'm going to have this princess come into the world. And I'm just going to kind of look to some of you guys and just go, all right, I'm going to imitate you. I've already told Brent that. I'm just watching you, dude. And I'm just going to follow what you do. He's doing a great job with it. But we have a son, Brock. He's 2.5 years old, and he's going to be a little bit older than 2.5 when our new one comes into the world. And here's what I've come to understand. Brock will have a role in helping us raise our daughter. Now, at the age of 3, he is not going to be the babysitter, so Kristen and I can go off to a movie. But he's going to have some responsibility, like when we're changing diapers and we're like, the diaper's over on the other side. Hey, Brock, will you go bring us a diaper? Hey, Brock, would you teach our little one? Would you teach him how to crawl? Would you teach her how to walk? Would you teach her how to use the big potty? He's going to have some roles and responsibilities. No matter how big or small they might seem to us, it's still a role. And it's still a responsibility. See, what we've got to understand is this right here, that the role and the responsibility of shepherding other people and leading the flock and tending to the flock is not just designed for those who are pastors and the elite teachers and those who have come out of seminary and those who are trained. But if you have any kind of education that is a little bit more than someone else, you've got a place to take them. You've got some clout. You've got a leg to stand on in this so that they can follow you. You just have to be a little bit ahead. So we have a role and we have a responsibility. So the question is this, not how do we back out of these responsibilities, but how do you and I, as the family of God, as the body of Christ, how do we embrace these roles, embrace these responsibilities, and start showing others how to live as devoted followers of Jesus Christ? Basically, how do we carry out the command of Matthew 28? Go and make disciples. A disciple. A follower of Jesus Christ. So how do we do that? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says this right here. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. Now let's back up to verse 15 for just a second. What in the world is he talking about? He says, the original language, he says that literally you have, and this is an exaggerated number that he's using, 10,000, a myriad of guides that are pointing you in the direction of Jesus. Now let me tell you what these guides are the equivalent of. These guides are the equivalent of a glorified babysitter. They just kind of watch after the flock and just make sure that they kind of do okay. They might be the nanny who just takes the kids and makes sure they eat on time and makes sure that they go to the bus stop so they can go to school on time and pick them up and just kind of takes care of them. And Paul is saying, listen, these guides are good, but you need to remember something. I'm your daddy. I'm your daddy, and you need to follow me. Why? Because I was the one who came into this place, and I showed you the truth. I showed you that you were sinful and that you were lost and that you needed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm the one that came in and presented the truth to you, and you surrendered to that, and I got to see you come into the spiritual world. I saw this birthing process of you where you are now. And so I'm your daddy. And I have got a title and rights to disciple you. These are Paul's spiritual children that he's talking to. And so now you can possibly see when you read in Paul's letters where he gets a little angry when people come in and start talking this other business about there's a little bit more than Jesus and Jesus isn't enough. And why Paul gets a little upset with that, because he's going, these are my kids. Don't feed them garbage. I'm proud of them. I want them to walk like me. I want them to talk like me. I want them to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so he says, you imitate me. You follow me. You know what Christians are really guilty of today? The church is really guilty of this. of seeing someone come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They walk them through this prayer, and it's a beautiful time, and it's a beautiful encounter, and they bring them over here, and they get baptized, and as they walk out the door, we just kind of pat them on the butt and say, good luck. Hey, good luck to you as you get out there in the real world. Let me tell you something. We don't need any more TCs in this world who says there was no one there to show me what was to happen next. That's for us. That's for you. That's for me to walk along the side of people. Listen, the Christian life is not about luck, whether or not you get it right or wrong. The Christian life is a learned process. It is a discipled process where we begin to learn, what does that mean? It's not just to get out there and try by trial. We're to learn how to do that. So here's what we need to understand. How is discipleship best done? When is it most effective? Discipleship is best done on the heels of spiritual reproduction. You are going to be able to teach your kids the best. Why? Because you're around them all the time. They're going to be able to do the things that you say sometimes, all right? Let's just be honest with that. But you're going to be able to train your kids the best because they're the ones that you are around all the time. Now, when their friends come over, you can kind of speak into their life, but they're not there all of the time. So your kids, and in this case, our spiritual children, those that we have had the opportunity to go and speak truth into, those that become our spiritual children, those are the ones that we are going to be able to disciple the absolute best. Because you're their spiritual parent. So what does this mean for you and me? It means that we need to start getting out and we need to start sharing our faith. We need to start speaking truth into people's lives on a regular basis, sharing the truth of the gospel, sharing the truth of Jesus Christ. And then you start having spiritual children everywhere. And those are the ones that we are going to be able to come right alongside of and teach them to walk with Jesus Christ. So whether you're a spiritual parent of a new child, that means you have led someone to the Lord and now they belong to you and you have some ownership in them, or maybe you're a guide. Maybe it's someone that just through a relationship you've come alongside of and you begin walking and talking with them through this process of how to be a disciple. Those are okay as well. Now, Paul is making it very clear that a spiritual parent is going to do a lot better at discipling. But some of us, we're going to be guides through the relationships that we stir on a regular basis, through people walking up to us and just saying, you know what? Hey, would you teach me to walk with the Lord? Would you teach me how to be a disciple? And then we come alongside of them and we become their guide, walking them and talking them through this. So now whether you're a parent or whether you're a guide, what next? What is the next process? Imitation. We live a life that others can imitate. We live a life that others can look at and say, that's how you do it? Great. Hey, that's why Paul in several places said this, I urge you then, be imitators of me. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me. Paul understood that it was going to take more than just kind of a once-a-day relationship. He knew that it was going to take time. He knew that he was going to have to invest. He knew that he was going to have to be around them enough that they could see every aspect of his life so that they knew how to do it. And it's a process. And it's about investing in others. But that's a commitment, a huge commitment. And I think that's what runs so many of us off sometimes. We're just like, you know what? I don't know that I have time to do that. Guys, we have to make time. We have to make time. My son and I, if you're around us enough, you'll find out that we both are kind of alike in a couple areas. I'm hyper. I like to go all of the time. And if you're around my son enough, you'll see that my son is a little on the hyper side sometimes, all right? But I love him and I wouldn't trade it for any other thing, all right? People will tell you, you know, hey, Dustin, you and him, you just kind of act alike. You kind of look alike. Well, here's the deal. We're around each other enough. He does things that I do, silly things that I do. The other day, I was driving in my car and I was eating sunflower seeds, and I'm just kind of in the front seat minding my own business, and I love sunflower seeds, and so I'm just kind of in my world, and I'd crack them and spit out the shell and crack them and spit out the shell, and I look back and my son is just kind of watching. And all of a sudden he goes, "Ugh." I was like, "All right, dill pickle sunflower seed, I'll give it to you." So I gave him one, and I was like, "Okay, so what is he going to do with this? He's never had a sunflower seed in his life." He takes it, he looks at it, he smells it, because he smells everything. It's kind of a weird thing, all right? And he puts it in his mouth. Down. And he pointed to the window, said, "Roll it down." All right? I'm watching, and he's just working this sunflower seed in his mouth. And it just kind of fell on his chest. It didn't go anywhere. But I was like, oh, like father, like son. He wanted to be like me. It was cute. It was fun. But here's the scary thing. He wanted to do that because I was doing that. He was imitating me. And that's what discipleship, and that's what it's supposed to look like. People walking and talking like you walk and like you talk as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So what does that look like? Let me give you just a simple thought here. There's a pastor and a book writer. He's been here. His name is Erwin McManus. And there was a guy who had just accepted Christ, and he was about to go to Peru and said, "I had a week left." So he walks up to him and says, "I need to figure this whole walking with God thing out." And he's like, "Okay." He said, "So this is what we're going to do. We're going to do underwear discipleship. And what that means is this right here. You are going to be with me so much this week that you will see me get up in my underwear. And I'm going to walk through my day. And you will see me when I'm in my underwear again at night to go back to bed. And all throughout the day, watch me. Imitate me. Do what I do." My question for you is simply this. If someone did that for a week, if one of these guys who just got baptized followed you for a week, what would they look like? What strengths would they have? What deficiencies would they have? Because they'll pick up both. They'll pick up what you're good at, and they're going to pick up what you're not good at. What would they look like? So what is it that we need to be modeling? Because I'm looking at some of your faces and it's just like, oh, I don't know that I would know what to do. So what is it that you need to model for someone? We're just going to take a few minutes and we're just going to kind of really walk through T-Life, because T-Life is Northwood's model that we say, these are some of the things that if you do these, then you will understand transformation. You'll understand it. You'll get it a little bit more. Would they see that you had an interactive relationship with God? Would they see that you, in a week in your life, interacted with God? That means that you hungered and you thirsted for righteousness, seen in how you read your Bible, how you meditated on the Word of God. Would they see that you had a longing to hear from God developed in your intimacy in prayer? When they watched you, would they see you on your knees praying, asking God to help you, to grow you? Would they see you in your trust with God and how you financially gave to God? Would they see that you just kind of gave God a tip, or would they see that you gave God all that you had? Would they see that you had transparent connections? Would they see that you believed and understood that you did not live and did life as a disciple by yourself? That you weren't an island? That you weren't a Lone Ranger kind of guy? Because so many of us, we accept Christ and then we kind of go off and say, okay, now I'll figure it out all by myself. That's not what the life of a disciple is about. But would they see that you connected with other people? Would they see that you were in a team? Would they see that you were in a place where people held you accountable and walked with you and talked with you and helped you understand the bigness of God? Would they see that? Would they see that you practiced forgiveness because you loved others and you forgave others? Would they see that you cared about sharing God's love with the world? Would they see that you were making a global impact, that you were working locally and globally? Would they see that you were using your skills here at Northwood? That you weren't just a sponge that just comes on Sundays and Wednesdays and just soaks, but that you were actually investing back into Northwood and becoming a guide and becoming a father and discipling other people? Would they see that you were blessing other people on intangible ways on a regular basis as you lived life, as you walked through the grocery stores, that you talked with people and you cared about other people, and that your conversations went back to Jesus? Would they see that you were listening to others and sharing your story and sharing Christ's story? Would they see that you were making an impact in your work, in your neighborhoods, in Keller, in Haltom, in Mexico, in Vietnam? Would they see that you cared about the world, or was it just about you? Would they see that if, as you were living all of these things out, would they see that this was your heart and this was your desire and this was not just a bunch of check marks where you're just going, okay, read my Bible, I prayed, I tithed, I went to team, I got in a mission trip. Would they see that you cared and your heart really desired these things? You know, some of you, you're right now, you're just going, okay, that's a hard thing, Dustin. Really discipling someone, modeling so that they can follow me and imitate me? That's hard. Yeah, it is. It's real hard. And that's why we have to rest on verses like 2 Peter 1:13 that says his divine power, Christ's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Discipling others is a part of life. So he has given you that power to do that. Discipling is an obedience thing. The worship team is going to start making their way back up, and we're just going to sing a little bit more and spend some time in worship. But this is our time where we need to focus inside. This is our time of obedience. And the time of obedience this morning is going to look a little different for each of you. And I don't know what that's going to look like in particular, but some of you, you may just need to get to this place where you just go, you know what, Dustin? I don't even have a desire to do any of those things that you talked about. I don't read my Bible. I don't pray. I don't have a relationship with God. And the first thing you need to do is you just need to come and surrender to the Lord and say, Jesus, I need you. I'm separated from you and I need you. I need you to come into my life and forgive my sins. I need you to heal my heart. Before you can even disciple someone else, you gotta start there. You can't take anybody where you haven't been yourself. And so we're going to have prayer partners at the crosses and all across this place that you can just walk up to them and say this simply, I don't know Jesus, and I need to. For others of you, is your life a life that others can imitate? What are the areas that you're struggling? What are the areas that people are watching and they're saying, that doesn't line up with this? You can teach it, you can preach it, but do you walk it? Do you walk it? And so some of you may need to come right up here and just say, you know what, God, I come before you and I know that there's areas in my life that I am not walking right, and I surrender those to you. But whether you get up and come up here and find someone to pray with or pray by yourself, or whether you sit in your own seat, do business with God. Welcome the Holy Spirit into your life to say, do whatever you want to do. Show me the areas that I'm struggling, and then lead me in the way everlasting. So what is it for you? Do you know the Lord? And are you living so others can follow you? Father, we just pray, God, that you would just speak. Holy Spirit, would you come into this place? And God, would you fill us, Lord? Would you fill us, Lord? Would you open our eyes and show us the areas that we're struggling? Would you fill our hearts with you, God, so that those areas of our lives that are not lining up, Lord, would just fade away? Oh, God, those that don't know you, Lord, would you draw them into you? This morning, I know you are ready to save. You are mighty to save. Oh, Lord, draw us into your presence.